again with this Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 6, The Light at the End of the Tumble. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, everyone. I have a fingerprint on the part of my eyeglasses that is level with that title. And so to me, it looked like the light at the end of the turbo, which that too. Anyway, hi, everyone. Just a quick programming note before we get into the quote meat of this episode. Again with this, episode 127, dropping January 13th, a lucky day for us all. Let's watch Marcia Cross and her giant bangs on Cheers. It is season 7, episode 21, Sisterly Love. It's on Paramount Plus, and we will link that in the show notes. It's actually a very good episode, so look forward to that. And please join us on our Patreon, patreon.com/againwiththis. We would love to have you on the Discord.
Yes, and this week there's even more reason for you to join the Patreon than usual, because our December and a little bit of January edition of Again With Them drops January 12th. This is our recap digest on Jenny and Tori's podcast, 90210 OMG. Of course, this time it's monthly-ish, but, you know, the holidays. You're going to get everything you pay for. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/againwiththis for all of that and so much more, including all of the archives, which is like hundreds and hundreds of episodes at this point. Well,
yeah, it's
100 plus. Let us get into this episode, starting with the B plot. Billy hires the graphic designer. We all assumed he would. So despite being run off with a shotgun in the last episode, Billy opens this one by lurking outside of Sam's mother Kate's restaurant until Sam, mid-shift, notices him and comes out to yell at him. But he's just there to say he's leaving. He's going back to L.A., but first, he warns her that Kate is manipulating Sam into staying for her own selfish reasons. And Sam whines that there's history there that Billy doesn't understand. And Billy is, as usual, very respectful of his partner's trauma, recognizing that there are experiences he will never truly comprehend. JK, clip 2.
What's to understand? Your daddy's a criminal and your mama's got a shotgun.
when did this become a country song? Like, mama? It's like, we're in Maryland.
Yeah. Mama? You're from New Jersey. I mean, Los Angeles. Mm. Also, why are you wearing an all dark blue tonal suit on the dock of this crab shack? Who cares? Also, could these women please put their hair up? It's in the visual aids, but it's infuriating to me. It's a restaurant.
Great point. Billy's point is that Sam is a grown woman who has to live in the present because what happened in the past is over. Yeah, no need for therapy for whatever did happen. Just get over it. Billy is inconvenienced again. He says goodbye and then he walks literally 3 steps before turning back and guilting Sam that they've come so far. But Sam says she needs to stop thinking about herself because Kate needs her more than Sam needs him, Billy asks. And before Sam can answer, Kate calls her back inside. Billy puts his hands on Sam's sides and is leaning in for a kiss, but she shakes him off and leaves. And then he stops her again to say he loves her. Dude, she can't miss you if you don't leave. By the way, we would love to miss you. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Sam stomps inside, whips off her apron. Kate can tell she's wavering and moves in to shore her up. No pun intended, because they're seaside. Sam should take a break. They can go to the swap meet that weekend. There's a church picnic. And Sam's like, I'm kind of more focused on my boyfriend walking out of my life right now. Kate says Billy's nothing but trouble. Sam whines some more that Kate does not even know him. But she knows Billy failed Sam when Jim was in L.A., and isn't that why Sam came back? And now they can start over again together. Sam decides Billy is right. Kate is trying to raise her a second time, so she decides to air out some old business. Clip 3.
You were a good mother. Dad was a problem, not you. You did the best you could under the circumstances.
Then why did you leave me?
I wasn't running away from you. I was trying to get away from a bad situation. God,
to spare you from that, Sam. I wanted to protect you from that shame and that fear. Damn it, why wasn't I stronger? I should have fought back when your father hit me. I should have taken you children and left. I just couldn't do it. I was weak.
No. You were scared. Dad would have killed you if you would have tried to run with us. You saved us, Mom.
You're not a little girl anymore, are you? You're a strong young woman with your whole life ahead of you.
See, you did raise me right the first time.
Okay, a few things. It's not appropriate to have the victim blame herself. Mm-mm. Sorry, like I, whatever, no. And it's not appropriate to have Brooke Langton in these scenes. I'm sorry. Like, every choice she makes is wrong. She is giving 110% and it's pointed in the wrong direction every time. Like, it's almost impossible to tell. Like, at least with Andrew Shue, like, it's kind of the same monotone every time. Yeah. So, like, sometimes it fits and other times it's like, okay, well, we'll just have to interpret what must have been on the page. Like, that's actually easier to kind of plug in what's supposed to be happening. Brooke Langton is just like, I mean, the effort is there, but the results are bizarre, and it does not get any better from here this episode.
No, I mean, that's problem A. Problem B is no one cares. Like, no one cares about her.
We were done
caring about her shit with her dad last season. Like, mm-hmm. It should not have hung over here. Like, my joke about therapy aside, if she were a real person, that would be true. She's not. She's a soap character. So let's actually move on. Stop adding more layers to this story that was weird and bad to begin with. Like, it did not need to continue.
No. It didn't, especially since we've already seen it done with a superior actor in the role, Courtney Thorne Smith. And it's like, is her weird, like, manic episode indicating still a problem?
Right.
I guess, except that, like you said, they're so boring anyway that this is kind of the only entertaining aspect of the storyline. So maybe we too should move on.
Yeah. I mean, the one good addition of season 6 to it was Joanna Cassidy, and she was also wasted in this role. Like, goodbye to her. I assume this is it for her. But, you know, I'm definitely going to cover Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead on a future Patreon, because now we can. And
yeah, we can.
The next evening, Billy opens the door to his apartment after work, and Sam is already there pouring wine on a into glasses. I said, at my notes say, on a candlelit table. There are glasses there. She's not that far gone. She's not just pouring it on the table. Her opener is that she belongs here with him. Clip 4.
Man, this talk, this revelation and stuff.
What was that line supposed to be is what I would like to know, because that's not it.
No, no, that's all we know, is that it's not correct, but who cares?
Mm-hmm. They start kissing. As you say, no one cares. We rejoin them the next morning, having apparently boned continuously through the night, or so we're given to understand. Billy suddenly realizes he has to go interview graphic artists, and she moans that she's so envious of him for having a job he loves. And what do you know, when we see them again, it's the next day, and Sam is surprising Billy by coming in to interview for that job herself. And he gives her a whole 4 minutes to sell herself, which she spends about 20 seconds on showing him her portfolio, and then transitions to coming on to him. So the Amanda Woodward agency is clearly just as professional an organization as D&D was, because Billy hires Sam when she is straddling his lap, and he's just so excited to spend time with a woman he loves and smiles at her creepily at the end of the scene, which you can see in the visual aids. A weird, weird choice from Andrew Shue.
Mm-hmm.
Some number of days later, Sam and Billy walk out of Roman Holiday together. She overheard some people at work saying the only reason she got the job is because of their relationship. So in order not to jeopardize Billy's position, Sam is ready to resign. And he assures her that she was hired for her talent, just like everyone else. Clip 5.
Billy, you don't have to protect me. I don't want to be the girlfriend problem at your office.
Fine, you won't be my girlfriend. You'll be my wife. Because the truth is, before, when you suggested that we get married, I was so stupid for not agreeing with you. I don't know what I was thinking, because I love you. I do. Samantha, will you marry me?
I would rather do in the whole wide world than walk down the aisle with you, Mr. Billy Campbell.
Oh, I love you!
Oh my God.
I agree. This is so bad. Like, everyone in the scene is bad except that saxophone player yes. who's like, let's just get this done. Yeah. Oh, God.
You can see that dude in the visual aids. Don't worry.
Well, when she's trying to be like sultry, it just makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm. P.S. What you will not see in the visual aids is a ring because he doesn't have one.
No.
Moving on to our A plot. Michael helps Taylor out of her sticky situation, joins Peter in screwing over Coop, but also gets outmaneuvered by Eric and Jennifer. In other words, this is the plot line where everyone other than Billy and Sam are. Mm. We open on Peter and Lexi post-coital in her hotel bed. And after some brief plot resetting, we get a little more info about Coop's entanglement with Kimberly. Clip 6.
Tell me about this patient that he had the affair with.
She was in a coma when Coop fell in love with her. If I can believe that. He would sit by her bed and hold her hand and project his fantasies onto her. Then one day, Snow White woke up and batted her big blue eyes at him. And my poor excuse for a husband jumped into bed with her.
I couldn't compete. I was alive.
So, did this Snow White have a name?
Yeah, Kimberly something.
Kimberly. Not Kimberly Shaw.
Okay. First of all, Lexi's not as much of a much mouth as David Charvet, but when she says poor excuse, it sounds like pork excuse or pork excuse of a husband. Mm-hmm. That's A.
Although her light sort of like, I couldn't compete, I was alive, like, ooh.
Yeah.
They just go right past the accusation of functional necrophilia, which, okay, don't get into it, but for her, that was a pretty good, interesting line reading.
Mm-hmm. That is also, that's a kink some people have, and we're going to not kink shame, but I once heard the girlfriend of a well-known TV show runner talk about how her then-boyfriend, they have since broken up, possibly not because of this, that he preferred her to, like, pretend to be asleep when they would have sex, and that was his thing.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just another one of those things where it's like, did the world, no one asked, ma'am. Anyway, my A was about pork skews. B is, I know it's a soap. Surely there was more than one comatose Kimberly in the nation. Like, it's just a crazy thing for him to jump to. I know he's acting like he knows he's on a soap sometimes, but does he even know she was from Ohio? I feel like we don't know that fact.
Yeah, I actually have in my notes, not at this juncture of the episode, but like somewhere in the middle during a Coop scene in order to, you know, stay awake. I was holding one eye open and with the other hand, I was making notes. Mm-hmm. Basically, I can't remember who knows what.
Yeah.
About whom and from and at what point they began knowing it, and it also doesn't matter. Like, everything is just this insane booyah base at this point. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, there's more of it in this plot line for sure. But yeah,
oh God,
like Kimberly had gone and come back before Peter was even a character on the show. Like, you know, we didn't see any scenes of people being like, she's going back to Ohio to be with her mom or whatever. Like, anyway, you're right.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
He thought she was dead.
No, I mean,
so did Coop.
Right. No, I mean, Peter. Like, Peter right. didn't know after she died where her mother was taking her.
Right.
Anyway, Peter tells Lexi that Kimberly was Michael's wife. Clip 7.
Well, now that seems like a strange coincidence.
But what are the odds? Coop's on staff at Wilshire Memorial partnering with Michael?
You don't think that Coop came here for some other reason besides me?
Could be.
Man, Coop really scares me sometimes. You watch out for him, Peter.
Yeah, don't worry, I can take care of myself. Big boy. I can take care of you, too.
This is why he's your guy. My notes are like, oh, all right.
I mean,
only human.
I buy it from him, but I'm still not buying it from her.
No, she's
like,
bad.
She's not giving me attracted to Peter at all. I mean, mm-hmm. she's not really giving me anything except has red hair, which yep. she does have beautiful red hair, but that's, I mean, Jamie Luner. Oh my God. Mm. There's some real non-live wires in this season 6 cast. Ugh.
Sadly, that is true. Over to the practice where we see another one. Michael, not him, is telling Megan, that's the one, that he's been to therapy, but she will not give him another chance. He gets down on his knees and grips her by both arms as he proclaims that he now knows she is the love of his life. She still doesn't care. She must think he is capable of change or she wouldn't still be working at the practice, he thinks. And then a voice behind them announces, actually, she won't be. And it's Coop saying Megan gave him her 2 weeks notice. This has to be the first person on the show to leave a job anyway other than on the spot. Truly.
Yeah. And it's like the only time that you would be completely justified in being like, bye, answer your own phones.
Yes. 100%. Anyway, then Eric calls. He asks Megan to dinner and she dodges since Michael's standing right there. So Eric creepily says he won't back down until Megan says yes. And Megan being Megan, she thinks that's charming. And Michael figures out that the caller was the jerk who shoved him at the jazz club recently. But Megan will not confirm that and leaves for lunch. And when we cut back to Eric, we see he was calling from Amanda's desk. Amanda walks in just in time to hear him telling an assistant to send flowers to Megan every day. And then Amanda says this. Clip 8.
What are you doing here?
I love that you can hear her gritting her teeth in that clip.
Yeah. She's like, it sounds flirty, but I actually want to stab you in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She adds that she overheard him returning to his go-to flower bomb move, and he should know it doesn't work on everyone, but he says Amanda's the only one it's ever not worked on, actually. And Amanda, for some reason, doesn't think it'll work on Megan either. And here's another instance of, like, who knows what about whom. Have Amanda and Megan ever had a conversation? I feel like they have not.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Hmm. Over to Kyle's. As Kyle delivers Taylor his old teddy bear, which his parents sent over for the baby, Taylor asks if she may call to thank them, and he says yes, which I only mention in case it becomes a significant plot point later. Anyway, Kyle would like to know, what's up with that paternity test? Taylor is totally on it, but also Kyle should keep the bear and give it to the baby himself. When Taylor was a kid, the gifts that meant the most were the ones from her dad, and given her psychological profile, as we've seen on the show, that scans. It's totally unsurprising.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle agrees. Taylor adds that it's hard not having a man in her life right now, and she's so lucky to have Kyle, and so is Amanda. Clip 9.
Kyle, you gotta be patient with her, because this has gotta be rough on her. Maybe you should take her out to a romantic dinner or buy her lingerie like you used to do for me.
You know what? I don't need you or anybody else to tell me how to handle my life. And you are nothing like Amanda. From now on, that topic is off limits.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yet, like, yet another Kyle Voltface. Like, why are we... Why? is he like this? Like, he's so cute. Just let him be a lunk and nice.
It's true. He actually has good chemistry with Amanda. Like, why are you complicating it? I mean, I guess one thing is about to be less complicated, spoiler, but...
Yeah,
threatening Kyle is not a shade that we like, and it was fine when that one was gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Then it's evening. Jennifer runs into the courtyard to find Craig sitting by the pool with a bunch of cruise brochures. So this windfall is enough money not only for him to live on, he thinks, indefinitely, but also take expensive vacations with. We have to know how much it was. And we hear a dollar amount later in the scene, and it only raises more questions for me, but we'll get to it.
Agree.
So Jennifer in her nipples, hot pants, and block heel slides, which you can see in the visual aids, have brought him cookies. She went to the trouble of plating them and covering them with saran wrap, only to admit, when barely asked, that they're store-bought. Like, just bring the box if you're not going to try and pretend.
Although, that reminded me of The Last Seduction, when she, like, just opens a box of, like, the Entenmann's and then heats them up. Yeah. And there's, like, a whole frilly apron involved and everything. Like, I don't know. Jennifer's kind of a baller.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, the cookie delivery is just a pretext to interrogate Craig about his plans. He says he spent so much of his life in school and then working for his father that he never got a chance to travel, which... No offense to people who enjoy cruises, but that doesn't really count. And I say that as someone who has been on one. Like, it's not really.
No.
Jennifer then decides she has grounds to lecture him. Clip 10.
You're just going to throw your money down the drain? I thought you were smarter than that.
I'm not asking for your approval.
Well, it's crazy. You're going to spend $100,000 on shuffleboard and bad food? What about... investing, starting your own business.
I'm through with business.
business.
Thank you. Okay, so is $100,000 the full amount? Because if so, that's a reasonable amount for a life insurance policy taken out on an infant to be, even at this time. We're given to understand the Andrewses are like upper middle class, I would say.
Yeah.
But... he thinks he's going to just live on that for the rest of his life. He's like 24. Like, that's not going to get you there, dude.
Also, pretty sure it's a capital gain. And unless you do invest it, like 44 thou is going back to the government. So not sure how that's going to work out for you, unless you're just not going to file taxes, which.
Right.
Yikes.
So Jennifer's so upset, she blurts that she can't believe the trouble she went to for him, which is how Craig finds out about her intercession with Mr. Andrews. And he crabs that he can take care of himself. And he's going on that cruise, which is like just such a funny thing to put your foot down about. Like, all right, enjoy Barbados, whatever. But as he's stomping off, she says she'll miss him. He is sure she will find the man who wants the things that she wants, but he's not the one. And just then, Billy crosses through the courtyard as Jennifer's drowning her Craig woes with cookies. And we've already discussed Billy, but clip 11.
Hey, Jen. How's it going?
Nowhere.
Had to do it.
Yeah. Through a mouthful of cookie, no less. Mm-hmm. Queen.
At the hospital the next day, Michael tells Taylor she is not, in fact, pregnant. Oh, my God. Everyone is shocked. She immediately recommits to her absurd plan of getting pregnant by Michael via time travel, I guess. But Michael is done. But Taylor's so close to getting Kyle back, she says. He gave her a teddy bear. She is disgusted that Michael's decided to become a Boy Scout now. And so Michael is forced to lay out the facts that have been obvious since the start of the season. Clip 12.
Hey, face it. Your time has run out. You're not pregnant, it's too late to get pregnant, and Kyle is one step away from figuring it all out, so you can't fake it anymore. It's just gotten way too out of hand. You're just gonna have to face the truth.
The truth? Oh, do you really think Kyle's gonna accept the truth?
No, but at least it'll rid you of some guilt.
Oh, thanks a lot, Michael.
Hey, Kyle's gonna find out sooner or later. Sooner better. Later? I don't want to think about it.
And Michael didn't even see him being threatening and creepy earlier. So good call, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this tone is a little breezy given that this whole fucking blackmail bone project has cost Michael his marriage, as far as he knows. But, I mean, it's amusing. And he's right. And Michael's a sociopath, so I guess it sort of tracks that he's like, look, like this is happening to someone else. I mean, all right. Sure.
Yeah. It's almost over, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Michael then steps out to the hall and is about to go see a Dr. Charette, who actually has family therapist on the door. Sorry, you lost the gig, Dr. Visconti, not a therapist. But when Michael turns back around, Coop is there, nosily asking him about it, which, like, the fact that he would even ask is weird. Michael is the chief of staff of this hospital. Like, not that there's any reason to be ashamed of being in therapy, but there was certainly more of a probably stigma about it then. And if Michael wanted to cover it, he'd just be like, no, we have a meeting. Like, I'm this guy's boss, effectively. But he doesn't. Michael starts stammering, but Coop says he was in therapy once himself. Clip 13.
I lost a patient in surgery. I tried using the cauterizer to seal up the puncture, and damn thing slipped right out of my hands. Guy died right there on the table.
Man, that's tough. And you're right, those cauterizers, they're so damn clumsy.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if someone could invent an instrument that's less cumbersome, like maybe some kind of, I don't know, a glove, or maybe some kind of finger attachment. Dr. Brett Cooper to the nurse's station, third floor. Hey, I gotta finish rounds.
This is not just a total non sequitur, although it seems like it. And I guess cauterizer is the insurance of season 6, where it's like the thing we keep coming back to.
I don't know. Like, they're really not cumbersome. It's like a little wand. They have varying like nozzle sizes or whatever you call it, tips.
Right.
There's no way to say that. That's what she said, Z. So sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's really not. And also you have like a loop. I mean, this is dumb. But also medicine doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of like a word that we could use in that place, but all of them have three syllables. None of them scan like business, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
However, this does end up becoming business anyway.
Yes,
as we will see. So Michael once again regards his therapist's door, but then looks at his own hand instead and gets an idea. And one crossfade later, he's at the practice dictating specs for a new kind of cauterizer as Megan types clip 14.
So, what you're saying is this new whatever it is can stop the bleeding with just the touch of a finger?
Like God reaching out his finger to Adam.
Where'd you get that idea, the Sistine Chapel?
It came to me in surgery.
I thought you still couldn't operate.
Well, before the accident.
Michael, I have to admit, I think it's great that you try to better yourself, but how are you going to finance it?
Well, all I need is some seed money for the prototype, and the rest will take care of itself. Thanks, babe.
Oh, okay.
Patents, best I could do.
Yeah.
I'll keep noodling it.
That's pretty good. I guess we're supposed to care that Michael is snaking Coop out of his credit or share, but unfortunately no one cares about Coop at all. So.
Yeah. And I assume that's Coop's whole, like, I assume Michael is being set up. So.
Right. Michael's already on his way out when a delivery guy comes in with Eric's flowers, and Michael sputters about how thoughtless Eric is. This is a medical office. Patients have allergies. Michael is developing allergies. But Megan just says she'll take both bouquets home then, which is when she reveals the first delivery from yesterday and Eric's promise. And Michael scoffs that Megan's too tough to fall for this cheap sentiment. And she proves him wrong by calling Eric immediately to accept his dinner invitation. Michael tries shaming her out of it by saying she's a married woman, as though Megan did not walk in on him fucking Taylor one episode ago. Just a reminder, it was not long.
Yeah.
And then we're at the jazz club by night. Jennifer walks into Kyle's office just in time to hear he lost the lease on Kyle's East. Okay. More business. He lost it how? Like, that's not how real estate works, A.
No.
And, like, who was in charge and didn't pay your rent if that's why you lost it? And if it's because they were like selling the property or, you know, whatever, raising the rent. Like, presumably there's a manager there who would be in charge of telling Kyle. Like, this isn't something that just happens immediately.
No. I mean, we saw this sort of foolishness with the Peach Pit After Dark.
We sure
constantly.
Did.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And now I'm having a sort of really unpleasant flashback to Colin's fucking stupid mural. Kill me. But yeah, like, it's a soap and
right.
I get it. But like, just say something else, like one other line that means that people who live in the world like ourselves will not be driven bazoo by inconsistencies like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not just going to put a chain on the door.
Yeah.
You have months.
Mm-hmm. So Jennifer is commiserating when Amanda comes in and orders Jennifer back to work. Jennifer shuffles out. Kyle tells Amanda not to be so hard on her. It's just annoying to Amanda that every time she turns around, one of his ex-lovers is there. Clip 15.
If you mean Taylor, that problem's not going away.
Right, because the problem's not the pregnancy, it's Taylor. She wants you back, and she'll stop at nothing till she gets her way.
You know what? Just the other night, she expressed concern about you, so you're the one that's being the problem, when you're acting paranoid. Taylor is not up to anything, and if she was, I would see it coming a million miles away, but nothing is coming, so just let it go.
I don't want to fight. It's just hard to figure you out sometimes.
Yeah, well, maybe that's my fault. I mean, sometimes it's easier to keep things under wraps.
If he'd kept one thing under wraps, he wouldn't be in the situation at all. Hey-o! Sorry. Not really. Yeah. He goes on to tell Amanda that he lost Kyle's East today. And as you already said, we did already go all through this with the Peach Pit, but losing the lease is not the same as losing the business. They're separate. Right.
So I don't... Yeah, again, I don't get it. Like, unless it was seized as part of a forfeiture or is a crime scene, this is not how it works. It's just not.
No.
In addition to being married to a licensed realtor,
mm-hmm.
TM, his, like, subspecialty is restaurant lease spaces and, mm-hmm. like, food prep warehouses. Like, this is just not, the leases are like 15 years long. There's so many loopholes. This is not how it works.
No.
Find something else for him to be sad about.
Yeah. But the way Kyle characterizes it is that the rug was yanked out from under him because he didn't keep a closer watch. And I guess that's the pretext to have him say he's learned a lesson, which is to be extremely committed to the jazz club, not the one Kyle's he still has left. So he's going to be at the jazz club every night starting right now. And Amanda sadly says she won't wait up then. And as she walks out, Taylor passes her on her way in to see Kyle. And Amanda lies that he's not there. Clip 16.
Do you know where he is? I have something important to discuss with him.
What? The teddy bear? And all the wonderful things you and Kyle can do with it?
Jealous because you haven't gotten your own gift from Kyle?
Hardly. Who needs a gift when you got the real thing?
Well, you can say whatever you want, but I'm still carrying the real things, baby.
Listen, you creep. You're not fooling anybody. You're using this baby to manipulate Kyle because you need a man in your sorry life. Everybody knows it, including Kyle.
Then why does he run to me every time I snap my fingers?
I'm warning you. Keep your claws to yourself. You already messed up my relationship with Peter, and nobody messes with me twice.
And I'm not nobody.
Ah! Taylor falls down the stairs. Okay, so obviously I gift this. It's in the visual aids. And please go look to see how the editing played fast and loose with the set, because when you're seeing Taylor fall from above, it's clear that the staircase is fully enclosed. Like, there's basically, like, walls on both sides. But then when they cut to the side, their patrons at Kyle's can see her coming. Like, there's railings on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Just not...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, what? And that's just also not where they would have put the jazz club, but we've talked about that.
Yeah.
That it would not be directly upstairs, otherwise no one would want to eat there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, no one would want to eat there anyway, because... Kyle's.
Right. The next morning, Taylor wakes up in the hospital with Kyle sitting on the edge of her bed and the teddy bear in her arms. She is fine, but they won't tell Kyle anything about the baby, probably because they are very confused that he is asking about one. So Taylor efficiently tells him that A, she had been at the club the previous night to see him, and B, Amanda lied that he wasn't there, and she is obviously about to say she had come to tell him that, you know, there was no baby or she already had a pregnancy loss. But then Michael comes in and lends credence to her lie by saying the baby didn't make it. And Taylor asks Kyle to stay because she doesn't want to be alone. So that's all, you know, pretty convenient if she didn't actually hurt herself. You know, problem solved.
Yeah.
Over to the practice. Peter's in Coop's office inspecting a folder when Coop enters and catches him, and Peter lies that he's looking for prescription forms and he can't find Michael. Coop rudely says Michael's probably in therapy, and Peter is shocked to hear it. Clip 17.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said anything to you.
No, no, listen, on the contrary. you know, any dirt on Michael is worth its weight in gold.
Sounds ominous.
Well, we all have our adversaries.
It amazes me you guys stay partners. But then Michael's not exactly on my top 10 list either.
Really?
Huh.
Well, maybe you could do me just a little favor then. You see, Michael stole my chief of staff job, and as a result, I did a few nasty things to him. But you see, we made this little deal that as soon as his hands are healed and he can do surgery, I get my job back, you know. But he's such a deceitful little... Well, you know what I mean.
What can I do for you?
Well, maybe you could see how his hands are doing. I mean, he has no reason to lie to you, right?
Yeah. No reason at all.
This is the second episode in a row that a character has come up right to the line of calling Michael like a xenophobic Italian slur. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, I just do not buy that someone as boring as Coop is a Machiavelli who can outwit both Peter and Michael. And yet this is where the show wants us all to be. And I don't like it.
Yeah, no, Blando Calrissian is just not that guy.
Mm-mm.
But I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I don't remember any of this. I think it got so boring to me at this point when it was airing that I bailed. So I don't remember anything after Matt leaving.
Right.
So
on his way out, Coop tells Megan he will be at the hospital for the rest of the day, so Peter goes straight back to that file. Speaking of the hospital, Jennifer yanks Michael out of a board meeting, lies that it's a family emergency, and then admits in the hall it's about Craig. And Michael, who, here we are again, I'm pretty sure has never had a conversation with Craig, does not care about his cruise. But Jennifer explains she heard from Megan about Michael's big medical breakthrough and knows that he will need seed money to get it off the ground, so he should get it from Craig. Michael doesn't know what could be in it for Jennifer, but Amanda once told her that Craig needs a woman by his side for his career to take off, and Jennifer thinks she is that woman. And if Amanda did say that to Jennifer, I don't remember it, and it would have had to have happened in the last 10 episodes. Like, these two are having off-screen conversations and they're getting reported. Weird. Michael says that until Craig gets over Sydney, he and Jennifer could never have a healthy relationship. True, but I think we're all surprised to hear Michael say so. And Jennifer is, of course, dubious about taking any relationship advice from him. Michael's bottom line is that he's not going into business with a grief-stricken wacko and his girlfriend. And not, for example, making a prototype of this is probably going to take up at least half of his windfall, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
That night, Peter brings Lexi to his condo to drink wine and look at other people's boats in what is essentially a boat parking lot. She says, it's so beautiful. Like, is it? also,
it smells so wonderful. No, it doesn't.
Also, she is there to receive a wrapped gift, which is photocopies of Coop's financial records. Lexi is offended that Peter might have thought she was sleeping with him so that he would assist her in screwing Coop over. But of course, he didn't. He wanted to help her because he loves her. They met 2 episodes ago. And even she kind of looks at him like, you do?
Why do you do that? Don't do that. No. Love Amanda. Come on.
She apologizes for overreacting. She did come to town for these papers, but she found something even better.
Ugh.
And no, it's not a great taco. Then we're in Kyle's place. Amanda finds him there. He tells her about Taylor's fake pregnancy, fake loss. And when Amanda says she's sorry, Kyle is a bitch about it. Clip 18.
Are you?
Of course. I mean, sure, I wasn't thrilled about the baby, but I'm not some heartless creature who doesn't care.
Why did you lie to Taylor? Why did you tell her I wasn't at the jazz club when you had just left me in my office?
Okay, I admit it. I got jealous. I was tired of Taylor buzzing around all the time, and when I heard about the Boston restaurant, I thought you needed a little time alone.
Do me a favor, next time, don't think for me.
Why are you acting like this? Taylor slipped on her own. She missed a step.
Yeah, so did you when you lied to her.
Oh, for God's sake, it's not like I pushed her down the stairs.
Might as well. I need a drink.
These fake impediments are so exhausting.
Yeah, they really are.
The next morning, Coop finds Michael in his office at the hospital. He notes that the way Michael's holding his pen makes it seem like Michael's hands are healing well, and Michael quickly says he wasn't paying attention and adds, ow. And I know that Peter asked Coop to keep an eye on Michael and see, like, if it seemed like his hands were healing properly or whatever. But are we supposed to think that Michael's refusing to perform surgeries because he's gun-shy now or something? Because Megan also asked him about it. It has not been established what the state of his hands actually are.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally there's, like, a close-up on them, but, like, because it's actually Thomas Calabro's hands, it's like, how are we supposed to derive anything from this? Like, the bandages are gone, but it's not like we've seen him in surgical scrubs. The whole thing is stupid.
Yeah. So Coop's there because he'd been thinking about their cauterizer conversation the other day and has an idea for a new instrument. And what the hell? It's exactly the same concept Michael dictated to Megan. So Michael negs Coop. It would be awkward and clumsy. It's a bad idea. And then hustles him out and calls Jennifer. He does want to take her up on her offer to use Craig's money after all. And she is on it and calls the cruise line. And then Amanda, with flowers, finds Taylor in her hospital room just as Taylor's getting ready to leave. And when Amanda expresses her condolences, Taylor says it's too painful to talk about right now. Amanda understands. She was feeling a lot of anger toward Taylor and doesn't always have empathy for other people's difficulties, and offers her a lift home, which Taylor accepts. And again, there's no textual acknowledgement here that Amanda has also experienced a pregnancy loss, but I think Heather Locklear brings that to the scene, and it does actually align with Amanda's character that she wouldn't necessarily disclose that to Taylor for it to be used against her in the future. So even if it was sloppy writing, it actually works.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of want these two to team up because that's more fun. I don't know. It's more fun.
Yeah. Over to the dock where Jennifer and Michael find Craig waiting with the rest of the passengers. They were just about to board when someone announced they were being delayed due to an anonymous tip about an infectious disease on board. And then Craig is like, why are you here, Michael? And for real, I was waiting for Jennifer to introduce them because I don't think they've met. But
no, I don't think so either. Unless, but like the wedding in a question mark?
He wasn't at the wedding. He didn't go. Michael didn't go.
At the hospital in a question mark? At the funeral in a question? I don't know. I think you're right.
Yeah. Anyway. Jennifer gets right to her investment pitch and Craig agrees on the spot because business. And then it's evening. We're at the jazz club where Eric and Megan are having their date because there are only so many sets and that's how it works. And he says some blah about getting a beautiful woman to say yes. And she claims she's not used to getting compliments. And when he's surprised that Michael didn't tell Megan all the time how beautiful she was, which we know he did, Megan says she doesn't want to talk about Michael, and when she goes to the can, Eric turns his attention to Kyle, offering condolences about Kyle's East. Kyle would like to know who told Eric about that, and Eric shrugs, it was probably Amanda. And then we're watching Kyle return to Amanda's place. She wasn't sure that he was going to stay there that night, but apparently her kindness to Taylor convinced him, and he tries to get into his conversation with Eric, but Amanda tells him to go and spend time with Taylor. And Kyle kisses her and departs. And Amanda goes to the window to watch him enter Taylor's apartment and then sees Eric walking Megan into the courtyard and pecking her chivalrously on the cheek before looking up at Amanda in a way the score wants us to find terrifying. Clip 19. Okay, like, we know he's horny for her. She keeps telling him, like, no thank you. I don't know if he thinks he's going to make her jealous by dating Megan, but, like, no to all of this. We don't care.
Yeah. Also, why didn't Megan just bone him?
Yeah.
It's like it's a revenge fuck anyway, so just fuck him. Like, you already went to the jazz club. You put the time in. You might as well get some D.
Maybe Jennifer was home. Anyway, let us close up by naming our episode MVP.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
I mean, her schemes are stupid and baffling, but she seems to be executing on them. And also, she chowed down on some cookies and she looked great in her half an outfit. So, Jennifer, plus her and Michael doing comedy about the Poseidon Adventure was funny to me. Mm-hmm. So, that's my vote.
All right. I think that's fair. I guess I'm going to give it to... I don't know, Peter, you know, he's progressing in his relationship with this boring woman. Like, he's trying to get one over on Michael. I'm not thrilled that Coop is outmaneuvering him, but yeah, I guess I can't really top Jennifer. You nailed it.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you could honorable mention it with Sam's mom for getting rid of her. So yes. Take your pick.
And also having beautiful red hair.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Least valuable player. Sam? Now she's got to be married to Billy.
Billy? What are you doing?
It's true. Apartment? It's hard to say who's getting the worst end of that deal.
I know.
I mean, probably everyone at the ad agency who the two of them are only going to get more annoying now. So,
oh, God, that's true. Like, every time his office door closes, they're like, eh, Christ, let's go to lunch.
Guy, you are in our prayers.
Next time on Again With This, Lexi screws over Cooper and may not keep screwing Peter. Jennifer screws over Michael so she can screw Craig some more. Kyle thinks Eric is screwing with him on two coasts, and Taylor still has a screw loose. It's just a different one this time. You know, it's always the same. Our visual aids screwing with your digestion. You'll find those for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. You can join the Patreon at patreon.com/againwiththis, which lets you come on our Discord and talk about all sorts of Starversiana. And you can call or text us at 210-920-4699. Drop a dime. Kids, ask your grandparents. I'm not Kimberly Shaw either, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Instagram at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Mama with a Shotgun, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is off limits. Talk to you next time.
That's a crock.
Today's episode is season 6, episode 6.
Yep.
Yep.